Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Ooh, baby, we got a transformative one for you this week.
That's right, we're in Las Vegas, reporting live from our suite at Circus Circus. Bring in the clowns. Who do we have today?
Today we have a very special guest. All the way from down the street in Las Vegas, it's Maddie Morphosis!
And she's here to give it to you straight.
We talk all about, you know, just going ham in high school, stealing food from Peppermill. I got drunk last night.
That's true.
All right, enjoy the show.
Goodbye.
M.
Oh.
M.
Mom!
When your first choice is a big old bus,
you turn around and boom, you end up with us.
Sloppy Seconds.
Oh, diva. Our number is 213-536.
Mine one.
80. Our email is sloppysecondspod@gmail.com. Now on with the show. How you sub, you stupid little flex, you nestle, flex, you dirty little flex. Welcome to Sloppy Seconds with Big Dipper, Meatball. I'm Meatball, and that's Big Dipper.
Hello.
Hello.
If you haven't noticed, we're in a new place. This is our first episode of Sloppy Seconds Takes Las Vegas.
And we're coming to you live, pre-recorded from Circus Circus off the strip, at the far end of the strip.
Well, it's on the strip. It's
the darkest corner of the strip.
Both literally and
figuratively?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. I'm my voice is shot. We were at the Gavians last night, and I was screaming at porn stars, like full volume screaming at them.
And when did you eat your dinner? What time?
6 a.m.
And what was it?
Pork chow mein.
Why don't you give our guests a lovely introduction here?
In bed. I ate it in bed. She's the queen. She's the queen that we were all a little skeptical of, but now we tune in every other week. Let's give it up for Give It to Us Straight, Maddie Morphosis.
Hi, Maddie.
That's me. Hi. Thank you for having me.
Button.
Thank you.
Faggot.
Oh.
I guess that doesn't really apply.
I'm glad I didn't hit it because I would have got canceled.
Yeah, that's right. You better watch your tone, ma'am.
There's like booby traps in this interview already.
Yeah.
Well, and part of it was you had to walk through the lobby to get here with all the children. That was the first trap.
Right. Well, we were saying earlier, like being in drag, going out to nightclubs, you know, I outside of that, I'm a homebody. So like I haven't seen children in the wild in like 5 years.
It's crazy. Walking out there and they're running around, snotty noses.
They're just existing, just like tiny little humans.
We did walk by one child last night. Was it at Resorts World where she went, wow. And
that was George's. That was just George's.
Oh.
Yeah.
She was like, ooh. She was like, they make them this big.
And beautiful.
Yeah, that's what it is.
So when did you move to Las Vegas? Because we're in your home turf now.
Yeah, just like a year ago. I haven't been here very long. I'm still adjusting.
Yeah, how is it adjusting? Because you were from the Midwest, right?
Yeah, Midwest, South. Depends on who you ask.
Arkansas?
Yeah.
Anyone
from Arkansas will tell you it's the South. Anyone, like, outside of Arkansas
Any
says
other
Midwest.
Okay.
I don't know. They all fly Confederate flags, you know, so whatever that says.
Okay, let's start with your hit YouTube show, Give It To Me Straight. So you were on season 14 of Drag Race, and then your gigs dried up, so you started a talk show.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh, how the turntables. I'm not used to being on this side of it. For the record, my gigs didn't dry it up. They were never there.
Okay. Okay, very good, very good. Why did you want to start a talk show?
Just to weaponize my blue check mark, because again, like I know, like with the way things are going, like you could do live shows,
sure.
And like if I go to a live show, I might make like 100 new fans. But if you make content online, like you can reach so many people. And like Trixie Mattel was like a huge inspiration in that, because on the season, like, we both had crusty makeup. Granted, I didn't wear the same blue contacts, so my contacts were better. But she had, you know, critiqued for her makeup. Like, there's so many overlapping similarities. She went home about the same time I did. But then after the show, she started making just online content, and then everyone just started falling in love. Right. And now she's literally Mount Rushmore drag.
She is that
she
girl.
She truly is that girl.
Like, it's crazy.
Well, your talk show is so interesting because it started just, like, you in that room randomly, and then there was like a sudden glow up and the walls became furry.
Okay.
And there was a neon sign.
Well, you're doing the thing that we always say, which is just go for it to start with. It doesn't have to be perfect.
I think just go, just make it, you know, it'll stick. Because people, like, they don't care about your backdrop, really. Yeah. As long as, like, the content's entertaining.
Here we are. We are in the circus. It's good hotel furnishing.
You're very humble. This is, like, a very nice suite. I didn't even know Circus Circus had rooms this nice, if we're being honest.
It's three conjoining rooms. Let's be honest.
That's, you know, it's...
Poor Doug has to walk through my room to get to his, and I leave that room like a gas trap the whole time.
Farts.
Yeah. Well, like, it was a nice room until you came, is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, yes. At one time, it was a nice room.
You probably won't get the deposit back, but it is a lovely appearance, room appearance-wise. Yeah.
I think people love your talk show because the queens that you have on, you're getting stuff out of them that other people haven't heard before. Mm-hmm. And I know for me, I mean, one cool thing that is just, you know, not to cross-pollinate our content, but now your show is available as a podcast on the Mom Network. Mm-hmm. And I have really enjoyed, like, driving around and listening to your interviews because mm-hmm. some people, you don't always have the time to, like, sit at home and watch the full thing if they're busy. Mm-hmm. I'm busy. But it's been really fun to see what is like the interview that you've heard the most feedback from, because that pheromone interview.
I was gonna say, was it the pheromone one?
Yeah. Well, right now the Aja one's the most recent one. There's a lot of people talking about that because
this is what I want to say.
Yeah. She was so sleep deprived and just chaotic energy,
and indeed
that
it was.
There's so many like sound bites from that one, but also too because Aja is someone that's very like. She's not just gonna sit by and let people say stuff. She's in the comments, so it's.
She's in the comments.
Oh yeah, she's
like, I saw you posting. You were like, "Girl, chill out, let them."
But like I go through, like I tend to the weeds. I get rid of comments that are way too negative. Mm-hmm. But she's getting to the comments before I even see them. I'm like, how do you even see them already?
Where do you have the time?
I know. Well, it's like I get the notifications when someone comments. It's like, how are you already here?
It's like 5 seconds before their comment. She feels it. Well, because she is a witch.
She's a bruja.
I get like a little notification. It's just like ding. And it's like two Instagram notifications. It's this random person commented and Aja commented. She's so
Queen
on top
of the clap
of it.
Back.
But you
she
know,
knows what's
it's
up.
Good for content. But yeah, the pheromone, I think, is definitely the one that it's kind of gotten the most press because, like, you know, with like her coming out and like all the news articles and stuff. The fact that like my show was cited in like out.com, pride.com, Out magazine. I was just like, oh my God, my bedroom show is like a notable source of like information now.
Totally.
Yeah.
Now, do you want to tell the people that you were on pride.com? Because normally when someone mentions a website that you've been on, you like to let people know about the article that...
Oh, was I on pride.com? Oh, yes, recently because I was making fun of Megami. I mean, not making fun of... I love her, and I was just paying homage to the queen.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you ever get uncomfortable in your interviews when you, like, drag these girls to their face and then just stare at them? Have you ever felt like a moment of like, ooh, that might have been too far?
No, I mean, it's been pretty good so far. I haven't had any bad. I think I'm pretty good at feeling the vibe because, like, you'll see, like, interviews, like, some queens, like, I don't really go for as much just because, like, the vibe doesn't feel appropriate. But I think I'm pretty good as social chameleon to kind of feel it out. There hasn't been any awkward ones as far as I know. Like, they might have left and been like, that was the weirdest shit ever. And, you know, there's probably some people talking shit about me I don't even know about, but I'm not aware of it.
It
all seems hunky-dory. From my point of view.
The girls want to be there. They're all commenting, like, me next, me next.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people are just, like, interested to find out what I will find out, you know? Because, I mean, if I was on the other end, like...
Nancy Drew.
Yeah.
Nardwuar.
You know, it's the reason why celebrities want to go on Hot Ones. They want to see, like, what is he going to ask me?
Yeah.
Right. So.
How do you do that, like, level of research? Are you finding out what high school they go to? You're finding pictures of them as children.
It's a lot of, like... just like deep diving where like into like the annals of the internet that I shouldn't be into. Like I'm on like their pages. I'm on like, I'm finding their old usernames. I'm finding like going on people that I know are somewhat associated like pages and keyword searches and stuff.
If you ever
like,
went on the show, she would play fucking audio of you voicing the Ninja Turtle for that game.
Oh yeah.
I'll look for it. You did like a voice for a Ninja Turtle?
A Ninja Turtle cell phone game.
Hmm. Did you do like the in person like promotional material for it too?
No, I did not.
Oh, okay.
I
wish. No, they weren't trying to feature.
They weren't
her
trying
publicly.
To feature.
Oh, okay.
It was just, it was
just like, let's use that voice and get you out of the room.
But yeah, with the show too, like a lot of people don't realize that even the deep diving stuff that they're showing you is only like the top of the iceberg. Because in order to find that stuff, I have to go even deeper. So I find so
much
stuff.
I need to delete my old Facebook.
But the thing is, like, if I don't have a reason to bring it up, because like everything I bring up, it's for a reason. It's either for like a joke or it's to segue into a new conversation. So, you know, like I might find out, like with Chrissy Shapeka, like there was like a deleted scene where I was telling her about the research and stuff. And I was like, yeah, I literally can't find anything about you from high school, but I know you were on the AB honor roll in seventh grade. It's like, That's a very deep fact that I should not know. No. But I also have no reason to segue that in anywhere.
Right.
Yeah, but you found a way to do it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a
little on both your program and ours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I did like to like her face, but like, as far as the content of the interview, I was like, I have nowhere to segue this into.
Right.
It's just a random like blip on like my notepad. I'm just like, I can't do anything with this.
That's so crazy.
It is wild like how much exists. And like I think because of so much true crime as like pop culture, and there's a lot of like movies or TV shows about people. There was that what's that actor's name, Storm, she just won a Golden Globe, she's in The Last of Us, she plays
the little lesbian girl,
she plays
girlfriend.
Zendaya's younger sister on Euphoria.
Stormy
her name is Storm something.
We'll
okay
insert it
anyway. We'll insert it.
Yeah.
Faggot.
Just give up.
Press it.
Now.
Press it.
No.
But it's me saying it.
I don't care. I've been given like the F slur pass by many a people on my show even, but I'm not about to use it because that pass does not extend to the people watching interviews.
That's yeah.
I literally had Willow asking me. She was like, "What will you do for my birthday?" I was like, maybe. Maybe.
Oh my god.
Not yet.
Oh god. I love that.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Helix.
That's right, baby. We love Helix mattresses. Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and even a mattress made just for kids.
And how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? Just take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes.
Yeah, I took the quiz and I was matched with the big and tall sleeper. It got delivered in a box. We unwrapped the box and threw it on the bed, and it's sort of like you give it a little time to settle, and I love sleeping on my mattress. It is something I look forward to coming home to.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've both been traveling so much lately, and for me, I just love coming home to sleep on my Helix mattress. Nothing is as comfortable.
They've got models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions.
Plus, enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night. And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge.
And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. And that's why they offer a 100-night sleep trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Helix is offering up to 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners.
Go to helixsleep.com/sloppy and use code HELIXPARTNER20.
This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long.
With Helix, better sleep starts now.
HelixSleep.com/sloppy and use code HelixPartner20.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true. But shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. You've never seen a mother and son duo like this before. This show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore? Okay, Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets, and you won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Stars and the Stars app. All right, we are back with Harriet the Spy.
We're back.
Or Nancy Drew.
Nancy Drew.
A.K.A. Maddie Morphosis. Maddie, Vegas.
Yes.
Why Vegas? What made you move to Vegas? In the words of, who was it that was fighting with someone and said, well, the property values are cheaper out there.
Oh, yeah.
No, Heidi?
Yeah, I think so. And that's exactly what it is. Because, like, I'm from Arkansas. Like, when I was in Arkansas, I had, like, a two-bedroom apartment, paid, like, $800 a month.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so, like, the idea of going to a two-bedroom apartment in LA and paying, like, $3,000 a month, mm-hmm. I couldn't fathom that. And so I was like, I'll just go to, like, Vegas. Because, like, there's all the rude girls that come through. Because I content was always the plan. Weaponize the connections. Use the check mark, you know. And, like, Vegas is, like, 4 hours away, you know.
Yeah, it's super close.
Yeah. So, like, content was always the plan. Vegas was, like, the backup plan.
Right.
You know, and now that it's my acclimation pool. I might stay here, but I might also just, like, move the little fish baggie into the big tank that is L.A.
Ooh.
But, you know.
We would love to have you in L.A. That would be great.
There's a lot of suburbs in L.A., too.
Yeah, you don't have to move, like, into L.A.
You can live, like, an hour outside and it's a little.
And go to, like, Ontario or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, be an IE.
Well, not Ontario.
Why not?
It's like about an hour outside of L.A. That's kind of far.
That's what I said.
Okay. They do have an airport, so it's easy to get in and out.
It's international.
Oh, that's the thing too, because like I started to bring guests like into my show, and like flights to Vegas are so cheap.
I know, it's crazy.
Our flights weren't cheap.
We took a jet. We didn't take a flight. You made us get on a fucking jet.
Okay.
And I sat next to Penn from Penn and Teller. Or Teller.
Wait, like why are you like on a jet, but then you're in Circus? Like what?
These are the questions, Joe. Why, Joe? Why?
Why, Joe? How do you... Okay, let's talk about Drag Race, season 14.
Yeah.
You were on that.
For briefly.
Okay, for briefly timed. When you were announced as a cast member on season 14 of Drag Race, you pretty much immediately put out a press release on your Instagram explaining yourself to the global population. Did World of Wonder help you create that? Like, were they like, hey, Maddie, this is going to be a thing? Or were you smart enough to be like, everyone is going to say something when they find out about my identity?
That was like fully like my own like PR. Because like, I'm assuming that World of Wonder, I assume that World of Wonder wasn't going to say anything because, you know, it's like, you know, all press is good press, you know? But I was like, I knew where people were coming from. And I also, too, like, I saw people that were defending me were doing it in a way where they're like, you guys are wrong. Drag is for everyone. And I was like, I need to clear up a few things. Because, one, drag is not for everyone.
Clearly.
You know, it's like, I need, like, not only, like, not defending myself, but just to say that, you know, it's like, hey, this is where I'm coming from. This is where I stand. This is my opinions.
Right.
You know.
And everyone was like on your side. It was super respectful. And also, it was just, well, not everyone was on your side. There was a lot of people that were fucking mean to you for no reason. But I thought you were great on the show. I mean, some of your looks were questionable, but that's not your fault. You didn't know how to sew.
I was poor. I knew how to sew. I just didn't know how to design.
Because
if you go back, watch the first ball, the skirt that I made, they hated the outfit, but Michelle said it was very well constructed. It was a non-stretch fabric. Everything was perfectly crisp. So all the naysayers saying that I don't know how to sew, I can sew.
Where did you learn?
I can run some fabric through a machine just at home. You know,
are you YouTube. Taught yourself?
Yeah,
that's insane.
Yeah, looking at ladies' porn and then sewing.
Yeah,
just back and
at
forth?
The same time. It's two screens. I got the dual monitors. Yeah.
What is your response? Because like clearly you know how to do drag. Clearly you're very entertaining. What is your response to people who say like, you were only cast on the show for the controversy and for the press?
I don't think it was there for the controversy, but I think I was definitely part of it was like for the story. I think what people don't understand is like people think of Drag Race as like the Olympics of drag. Well, because they say it's the Olympics of drag, but like Drag Race, it's not the 14 best queens in the country.
No.
It's 14 queens with a story, you know. It's like the people that get cast, like you're a cast on a reality TV show. You're there to do a competition, but also tell stories and, you know, have different, they want to cast people that are like very different. You know?
Right. And some people have to go home early and some people stay longer. Like you can't put the 14 best on because it would just be like when they judge All Stars. Well, but it would also be like when they judge All Stars and they're just like, you know, it's just down to the nip. the bun on that.
Yeah.
And you're like,
oh, why didn't you wear a different shoe? I didn't like the heel on
it. And you're just like, well,
what are you talking about?
Well, I mean, even the people that, like, you say, like, aren't, like, the best, like, a lot of people that have won the show, they weren't even, like, big names in their hometown when they were cast. You know? Or, like, you know, like.
Jinx Monson.
Huh?
Jinx Monson.
Oh, yeah. Jinx Monson. Yes.
Yes.
She was 14 in her hometown.
Like, Nayshia Lopez, former Miss Continental, amazingly talented, stunning, went home early, like, first, like, twice, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But then, meanwhile, like, Willow Pill was wearing.
But Willow Pill was a big deal in Denver.
Yeah,
she
but,
really
but
was.
Like, but she's.
But she was wearing a t-shirt and a. Like a skirt.
Yeah, but she's
nothing
all,
but
like,
a t-shirt.
She's another queen like in Chicago right now. Like she literally just wears like Forever 21, throws up on people, and she won Drag Race. So
right. I love that.
You know, it's like Drag Race, it's not, you know, just it's not a pageant. Like people, it's just different stories, different experiences, a different, you know, little Chex Mix bag of characters.
And you know who I think is a really great example of that is Roxy Andrews, who, you know, did super well on the show in both her original season and the All-Star season. She played like a villain and had a redemption arc. She's so well known in the drag scene, like in the pageant scene. And then literally like at this point is sort of like, I don't really need to be involved with Drag Race anymore. Like it was something I did, but like, I don't have to hold on to it so much.
Yeah. She's and I definitely not involved anymore.
And it's sort
yet.
Of lovely. Maybe.
I don't know.
Get ready for all villains.
Yeah.
But like, it is so kind of refreshing to see her just like posting about how excited she is to like do her show that she does in the Beyonce look that she made perfectly.
Yeah.
And it's not about like, I've signed some media deal with, like, you know, Paramount, and I'm doing an XYZ. It's like she's on her path that is important to her as a queen.
Mm-hmm. When you were on the show, did you feel like the other girls understood, like, your point of view of drag? Because, like, you were coming out with, like, the Marie Antoinette head chopped off look. And, like, you were...
Guy Fieri.
Like, you were doing, like, this other level of drag that I don't think people were expecting from you.
Yeah, well, I mean, for me, I was drawn to drag for, like, performances, like, just, like, fun, funny performances. Like, a lot of what I do are, like, characters, you know, or themes. Like, if I go, even where someone says, like, oh, she's doing a fishy look, it's like, but I'm doing a very specific character. Like, I'm
sushi
doing, like,
on a platter.
Hot goth girl or, like, you know, hot scene kid or, you know, just...
Or sexy nun that reveals to the same
nun.
Yeah,
you know, it's just, like, I just like characters and, like, just general aesthetics and stuff. And, I mean, there's, like, definitely people in the drag scene that get it, but I think even the queens that are on the season, like they, you know, got it for the most part. But even if it's not the drag that they brought, you know, they see it back home too.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
When you made that TikTok with the bugles on your fingertips as the Boulay brothers, did you think that would be the most viral you ever went? Or did you know that you had a future?
No, I knew that was only the beginning. And it was only the beginning. I was like, if I can get this much press off a Dragula TikTok.
Well,
sorry, my cards are out of order.
When I saw that TikTok, I reposted it like a million times. I didn't even know it was you. I had no idea it was you. And someone was that's Maddie Morphis is doing that. And I knew she was the funniest one there.
I think I made that before I was even cast on the season. And so
that's why
it was so exciting because like, I still remember back whenever, you know, I only had like 3,000 followers and you get 10 new followers. It's exciting. And I had my first TikTok that got over like 100,000 views. I'm like,
was
holy
your
shit,
first TikTok?
I made it. It wasn't the first TikTok. It was the first one to really like get views,
gotcha.
You know?
Were
know.
You a Dragula fan? Are you a Nikki fan?
I was, and I am. I make a lot of jokes at like the Boulay brothers' expense.
What's that like?
It's just funny.
I've never done
that. Yeah, but I'm a fan of the show though. I like it.
That's good. We just ran into Fantasia last night. She had no idea who I was.
Oh no!
She was like, "Dragula is a wild experience. Have you done it?"
I was like, "No, can't say that I have."
You're like, "I don't think it's for me. More of a Camp on a Kiki girl."
Yeah, I really am. Yeah. Oh my god, do you watch Camp on a Kiki? I love that shit.
I made a cameo appearance, I think, on the last season.
Yes, you did. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Now, controversial question. Would you ever start your own straights only drag web series competition?
God no.
How's that?
I've hit
the button.
I've had I almost like reflexively did it.
We're gonna get the bitch.
You got like two shots, I'm just like but like I've had a couple like straight queens like reach out to me or guys that are like, oh, I'm interested in doing drag. I'm a straight person too. You want to start a drag family? And I'm like, no, like I'm not. I feel like starting a drag house where it's like straight men only, that's like, that's so fucking corny.
Right.
That's like, it, now it's very weird. Much,
you know, it comes down to, you know, that statement that we started the segment on. It's like, you understand that this is for you because it speaks to you, but it's not yours. You're a part of a larger community. Yeah.
Well, for me, it's like, I don't want my whole identity around my sexuality. The only time I do is like with my show, like if it's funny or ironic, I'll use it. But outside of that, like I'm just making content. Yeah, like the title of the show.
The title.
Yeah. You're straight.
Yeah, I understand that.
But even then, like
Dick and vagina.
Dipper.
Precisely.
Titties on the top.
And dick on the bottom.
Precisely.
Exactly, guys.
But with the show, like, I had the name for that show and the idea for the logo before I even had the show. And
right.
I built it around that because I was like, I think it'd be funny if I had a really aggressive logo. But then I had that pink sign with my name that all the Voss girls got.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was like, it'd be funny if I had a logo. It's like aggressive font, but then like the word straight is just like in like pretty pink cursive. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
I love that.
It's so good. Your show is so good. I always listen to it. I'm glad it's like podcast form now. Wow. Because I was like having to.
They do look beautiful on video.
Yes, it's gorgeous on video.
Yes.
But like you said, you're busy. We're busy. I would always just like have it on in my car, like on my phone on YouTube. And I'd be like trying to drive and watch it. And I was like, I'm going to die.
All right. Yeah. Well,
don't. I definitely think like I think the ideal format is to listen to it on the podcast. And then go back and see the visual references.
Well, because, yes, sometimes the way you stare at them or the way they look at you is, like, the funniest thing in the world. Especially, specifically, Aja, because I don't think she realized how hard you were going to go on her.
No. Well, I'm really glad because Aja was nervous about because I didn't really know her. Mm. And, like, we are cut from two completely different cloths. So right. I was like, this is either going to be, like, the perfect grab, like, mix, or it's just going to be, like, an immovable object meets an unstoppable force.
Yes.
And luckily,
I've been seeing that meme go around because they want you and Z-Way in a room together. And I would lose my mind for that.
Yeah, that would be wild.
The people want stuff like that, but I think they're just like making these connections. Like there's like, oh, this is similar. I want these things together. But it's like, you don't want two of the same thing. You need like a straight man in the banana. You know, it's like that dynamic.
Yeah.
You put two people because like in that sense, Z-Way is, for lack of a better term, like also like the straight man.
Yes.
In that scenario. It's like, what are we going to do? Just
stare at
each other? I don't know.
Probably. I'd watch that. I'd watch it.
I would love to see her to do an interview with you as George Santos again. So it's just.
Yeah.
That would be funny.
And you're like your whole thing is like, you're like, hey, I'm doing an interview as the real George Santos.
Yes. He was faking last time.
Or you just literally read the transcript.
Oh. Content.
Now, on your show.
Here's some. Oh.
Yeah.
Now, we've done some mildly researched questions that we'd like to ask you.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
When you worked at Target in your early 20s, how far did you push the limit of what was considered an acceptable Target red shirt? Did you play by the rules? Or did you wear a little scoochy hot pink top with ruffles and call it red when management asked?
No, I was pretty honest. I had some basic red t-shirts. But I actually worked at Target in like my mid to late 20s. I only worked there for about like a year before I got on Drag Race. Walmart. My first job out of high school was Walmart, and I worked there for like 5 years.
What department?
I'm from Arkansas. A little all over. Did inventory. I was a department manager for a while over furniture.
Cosmetics?
No. You
just said furniture. Everywhere.
No, cosmetic. I actually applied for Sephora once.
Really?
Like, it was like a few years into doing drag. And I was like, I want to get a part-time job at Sephora. Get a discount on makeup, you know, and, you know. And I never even got a call back. I never called me. I got, let me rephrase. I got a rejection letter. They said, sorry, we're not accepting application at this time.
That's insane.
I applied for multiple ones, just regular sales positions. I had department manager retail experience. I was like, and I submitted pictures because they were like, show us some pictures of your work. And it was like me and drag. And that's probably why I lost the spot.
Oh, yeah.
But I was like, it was a very humbling experience where like I couldn't even get a job at Sephora. And then 2 years later, I was on Drag Race.
That's wild.
And it was like very much like when I got that call, it was like you'll all see. And then I get on the show and immediately get red for my makeup. And I was like, oh, maybe they're right.
It's so wild because when you walk into a Sephora, those managers are in the tightest little black pants you've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And they are basically done up like drag queens.
Yeah.
They're wearing
interview look.
Yes.
And indeed they do.
And indeed it was. Okay. So you started doing drag after high school?
Yes.
And you've been quoted as saying it was a safe space for you to explore your gender identity. Mm. So are you getting your jollies off by doing a little drag?
No. I whenever I started doing drag, it was like a self-expression, because like I was going out for a long time and it wasn't even drag.
Right.
I didn't start performing until like 2017, but I was doing like varieties of like going out. I was like fully dressed up, androgynous, trying to find out like what it meant like to me.
Yeah.
Because like, I don't know. I got extremely nihilistic after high school. Like it was in a weird way. Like it was like depression, nihilism, nothing matters. Like I was fully like,
oh, cool.
I'm not happy with my life. I'm not happy with what this is. I don't fit in with anything. I don't understand life or like who I was. And I was like, I'm going to leave high school. I'm not going to see these people again. Anything about myself I'm going to change. Anything that I'm curious about, I'm going to try.
Whoa.
That's really cool.
Yeah, and like I was fully like, I was always drawn to more like feminine aspects and things, and especially like in a very macho, conservative small town. I was like, I don't fit into like, this. And I think there's a lot more nuance to this story that I'll probably talk about in a different monetized podcast, but the short of it is like, you know, I was like going out and just trying to find out what it like meant to me and meeting people that were different than the people that I knew. And I was, you know, like the person I was even a year after high school was like polar opposite than I was in high school. Cause I was just like going through this weird journey. And it just so happened that, you know, to go through these changes and find out about yourself, you're going to meet more open-minded people.
Right.
And those open-minded people are going to go to open-minded spaces. Mm-hmm. And so it just led me to like what became my home bar.
C4.
And C4.
In Fayetteville. Now, when you walked in there, who was on stage? Taylor Madison Monroe?
She actually was not hosting at that time because like there was like a brief hiatus that she took. I don't know why. I think I probably know why, but I don't want to say.
Drugs.
But yeah, so, someone else that was out there.
Oh, I thought she
I remember the host was Olivia LaRue. She's the first drag queen I ever saw in person. And she was very welcoming and like.
Room stop? Were you like, what's this?
Yeah. Everything stopped for a moment. I heard like Linger by the Cranberries playing. It was very, yeah. No, but I was there with, I think it was like a girlfriend at the time, and she was someone that I confided in about like all like the gender expression stuff I was going through, and it was her suggestion. She's like, oh, we should go to like C4, they're open-minded, and you know, they do drag shows and stuff, so if you want to do something like that, they wouldn't judge you. And so yeah, I went out there. Olivia LaRue, first drag queen, talked to me. I was terrified of drag queens. I never saw one in person, but she was like really just welcoming and just like kind, and it was like the first time I was like, oh, they literally are just people in clown makeup.
That just reminded me, the first drag queen I ever talked to was Peppermint.
Oh.
Isn't that wild?
Oh, I feel like we talked about that with her.
It was a contest or something. She was hosting karaoke at XS in New York. You know that song?
Wait. Well, not the way you're singing it. Which one? Oh, like Concrete Jungle, Wet Dream Tomato.
So you went to Fayetteville High School.
No, I went to, I haven't disclosed. The Wikipedia page is inaccurate about some stuff.
That you were part of the Purple Bulldogs.
Well, that's just the mascot. See, you read things as if you understand what they are.
Why aren't you listed as a notable alumni from Fayetteville High School?
Because she didn't go to Fayetteville High School.
Explains that.
Answers the next question. No, I went to like a little tiny town outside of it, but I just like don't like claim it because again, like I left the high school. I don't fucks with it. I don't fuck with the people there, except with the exception of a couple. And I don't want people.
You're in a couple?
This exact reason. I said I don't fuck with the people there except for a couple of people. But you know, it's just like I'm not about to rep them, put them on the map. I don't want my name on their Wikipedia page.
No, fuck them.
That's right.
We were talking before the interview started about how like you're at the middle age. Like not middle age, but like
she's 29. In her 20s.
Yeah.
So you're like almost 30. Some people think you're young. Some people think you're old. Do you feel like the newer generation is just more accepting of everything? Because I feel like they don't really care that you're like a straight person. The only people that really care is like people that are over 35.
I would say like the opposite, really. I think most of the people, the negativity that I got was like 14-year-olds on Twitter.
Really?
But it was actually like some older drag queens because like there's been a lot of straight drag queens, just not on Drag Race.
Right.
So the people that were upset are the people whose only exposure is Drag Race, which is mostly younger people. Mm. But people that are in the drag scene, like I had like older pageant queens, and like, they were the ones that talked me into doing like pageantry and stuff. And like I was in the local scene getting booked by older pageant queens, like they didn't care.
And now you have done a pageant?
I have.
Did you win?
I made final night. It was a national pageant. But all the prelims that I did, I was always like first runner up.
That's amazing.
I was a bridesmaid.
Was it EOI?
EOI?
It was newcomer. Miss Gay USFA newcomer.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. I did 2 years of that. I actually had one more year that I was eligible to compete, but then I wasn't because I got cast for Drag Race, so I had to make a decision.
Wait, that's you just... can't do both?
No, because one of the rules is, like, with newcomer, you can't have won a state title previously for another system, or you can't have been on, like, a televised drag competition. Because once you're there, like, your resources
drag
change.
Drag competition.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because that doesn't really give you anything.
Exactly, everybody.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Do you love anime, gaming, movies, and discovering how your favorite pop culture affects everything you do? Then join us on Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. I'm Nick Friedman.
I'm Lee Alec Murray.
And I'm Leah President. Every week you can listen in while we break down the latest pop culture news and dish on what new releases we can't get enough of.
Whether you love movies, I'm going to tell you all about the hopeful 4K re-release of Tron Legacy that happens.
I'm right there with you. Or music. The music in this show is absolutely incredible.
Or anime.
Yeah. And under this mask is another mask.
You can discover your new favorites right here on The Anime Effect.
Listen every Friday wherever you get your podcasts and watch full video episodes on Crunchyroll or on the Crunchyroll YouTube channel.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
And
we're back! Do you know Wicked?
I do. How does your mics not just like blow out?
They probably do.
Oh. I got the level. I'm riding my levels.
Oh, okay. Professional.
I can teach you about
professional. Professional.
I came to work.
That's Shangela. Shigella.
Did you know that she performed on almost every continent in this beautiful globe, U.S. of world?
Has the drag queen ever performed in Antarctica yet?
I think Shangela did.
I think Shangela did.
Oh, did she?
Yeah. And we should have laughed her there.
Hey, like, Siri.
Oh, got her.
Did Shangela perform on Antarctica?
Okay, I found this on the web for Did Shangela Perform on Antarctica? Check it out.
I hate when they don't redo the results. They say, I found you some research, but you need to do the work.
You're like an iPad baby. You just want everything handed to you.
Oh,
you, just
want, you just want the content. Her.
I want Teddy Grahams.
You're like, I hate when I have to read.
I want Teddy Grahams. I want a bottle of water. I want to watch my shows. Yeah, I want you to push me around in a circle. That's what I want.
Like,
I
want to drink a mimosa.
You
out
wear
of a
nothing
sippy
but
cup.
Fucking overalls and shorts.
That's right. They call me baby.
In the summer of 2017, you posted video footage of you dressed as a peacock with a huge cape with the words, I am here, scrawled across your chest and bang. Mm. Did you invent We're Here? And when did Eureka, Bob, and Shangela steal the idea from you?
I'm not going to say I invented it, but there's definitely some deriving there, for sure, for sure. No.
Were
no,
you doing Peacock by Katy Perry?
No, I don't even remember what I was doing. I think I just remember that night, the theme was like Club Kid or something. And okay. I was like, I'm just going to make the craziest thing I can. So that whole peacock feather, it kind of wrapped around me. And then it like blew up. Because it was like very like Jackson Pollock, like paint splatters all over my body and like the cover. And then it folded out in the peacock feathers and it said, I am here.
It looks absolutely incredible in our notes here.
Yeah. Half cut in black and white. You really that,
here's
that,
the fold. There's
that's
the fold that exists.
That's the best way to consume that look is on this card.
On tiny cards, pixelated, and it's cut in half.
Yeah.
All right, well, everyone can go fuck themselves. here's something else. In a Salon.com article, you admit to stealing your performance style directly from Bob the Drag Queen. Can you apologize for appropriating Bob's culture?
I did not steal the performance style. I was inspired by. And it's only fair because Bob stole my idea for We're Here. So
exactly. Wow.
That's not,
a bitch,
it's
Bobber.
Not stealing, it's tit for tat.
So we were actually talking about this last night because Meatball said the same thing. Like
same thing.
Seeing Bob's performance to like it is 97,000.
No, the one that got me was her crazy mix where she was like, the telephone! The telephone! You know that one?
The one for me, it happened like, it was before Bob, I think, was even on Drag Race or before I started watching Drag Race. But I'm from Arkansas. We're uncultured. We don't know shit and everyone's white. So like everyone's talking about voguing and I literally Googled how to vogue. And it popped up a YouTube video performance. And I was like, oh, this is like someone doing it live. And it was just Bob doing a stand-up where he was lip-syncing over a YouTube video of someone talking about how to vogue. And made it like a comedy thing.
Oh, that one's good.
And that was the first time I saw a mix where someone was just like doing monologues over like a YouTube video and stuff. And the first time seeing a drag performance that wasn't just someone doing, work me down, down.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit, you can do stuff like this? And it completely changed the way I did like mixes and stuff. So now like when people ask like, what's your go-to lip-sync song? I'm like, some YouTube video. Like, I don't like.
Same for me. They're it's, like, what'd you go to? And I'm like, huh?
What? It's that. It's I don't have.
And they're like, so what do you. Or yeah, when people ask me, like, non drag fans, and I'm like, oh, I'm a drag queen. They're like, oh, do you sing? And I'm like, no. They're like, oh, so you lip sync? And I'm like, kind of. Mm. Mostly hosting and like making fun of other drag queens is what I do.
Yeah. But it's such a life. No, I feel like I was like, kind of in the wrong. Like not the wrong spot per se, but like people from New York, they do stuff like that. In LA, like precinct, you're doing shows like that,
right?
In Arkansas, like no, they weren't like never getting down like that. You know, it's a lot of pageant drag, a lot of ballads, a lot of dancey songs.
It's always so interesting. I mean, you've had the opportunity now to travel around to all these different cities and see. Well, maybe you did see
a couple
here there.
Did you work the world?
No, I'm working my guest bedroom right now.
Yes, okay, got it. Yes,
but
yes,
to
yes.
see like how what their culture of drag is, or like how their bars run the shows, and it's just so interesting. Like in LA, it's like 5 minute numbers, please, nothing longer. But in other cities, it's like, oh, we're doing doubles tonight. We're doing 16 minute straight sets, like just the longest numbers possible.
When
when I had to travel, I had no idea what to do.
When we went down to play. They were like, oh, it's a very regular thing here that if the audience is really living for the number, just run it back. Just do it again so you can collect more
tips.
I
had spoken word numbers. So it was running back to the middle of a monologue being like,
Play. I think I think they did the same thing to me where I was doing a number and it's like, my outfit is extremely intentional. I have props. Like, it's like a little spoken word thing. And I had another song that was a backup. And it was just like a backup third number in case I was doing a third set. Mm-hmm. And the crowd was like living after my first number, so they just played the backup song.
And yes.
Which is another number with props in a different outfit that are all backstage. And so I'm just like doing this number that makes no sense. And I'm like, this is a setup. And so people are tipping, but they're also like confused.
They're like, why are you dressed like Colonel Sanders?
Yeah.
Doing songs about juice.
What was the sandwich? Songs about?
Juice. Oh, juice. Oh, juice.
I was like, ooh.
Spell it.
J-U-I-C. Juice.
Okay, thank you. What was the sandwich they did at Kentucky Fried Chicken that wasn't the bread, but it was the two pieces of chicken?
Double stacker.
Double.
Look it up, Doug. Double stacker.
Double down.
Double down. The double down.
You ever had one of those?
I have not. No, as soon as I moved out, like, again, I went on that whole journey of, like, exploring new things, and one of them was also food.
Vegetables.
Ooh. So, like, all the different, like, places I'd never had before, I was like, I'm going to try this. And so,
what
like,
is your favorite food?
I discovered Popeyes. I tried to get KFC once, and then I found Popeyes and
Louisiana
never went back.
Louisiana Kitchen.
So, despite having a Colonel look, I actually don't fuck with KFC like that.
Well, there's a Popeyes down here in the main floor of Circus Circus.
Say less. I'm here.
That's why I actually.
She said, honey, run me my biscuits. I came for the mac and cheese. God, I always get so many sides at Popeyes, and then I'm just so disappointed. I feel like they don't do sides well.
Mm. Do they have Gus's Fried Chicken out here? Have you ever had that?
I've never had it, no.
You got to try it. It's so good. Next time you're in LA, we'll go.
I don't know her.
I got a house. I'll have you a fat slut, but you got to put on a couple pounds or a fat suit.
Okay, fair enough.
She can do a look. A fat look.
Yeah.
Why can't I be skinny cow?
You could be skinny. You look so good as skinny cow.
Thank you.
How did you become so good at makeup? Because your beat is like,
it's slay. Well,
thank you.
Stamped.
I mean, I feel like it's a lot of it's not fair. Like I don't have like strong features, so it's literally like just like.
She's beautiful.
No, because I just have like.
You think you're pretty.
I just have like a very featureless face. Like, I'm not saying that like I'm like naturally pretty. I'm saying I naturally look like those bland background characters in Renaissance paintings. You know? But like whenever there's like a picture of like a cat the way they used to paint them, I'm just like that.
I you know? Say that. They didn't know how to paint animals back then.
No.
Like, it's wild. Well, yeah. But yeah, I
so I get to
kind of like a flatter and like more open face. So I think it is like easier to paint on.
I don't have super discernible features, so I get to create them. The hardest thing is like the nose, because like the nose is like the only thing I have that's like somewhat its own care, its own thing.
Yeah. Now, did you wear blue eyeshadow and red lipstick for me today?
I didn't. It's just a fate.
Oh.
I think.
Good to know.
Good to what else? So what is your experience in Vegas in the scene here? Do you go out and support the girls who are like doing brunch at the Garden?
Yeah, you go and see an Elliot with two K's, two T's.
I used to go out to the scene a lot more. When I first moved here, I was like, I'm leaving Arkansas where we do drag shows once a week. I'm going to Vegas, drag every night, partying all the time. I'm going to be going out all the time. And I got burnt out after like a month. Mm. But I go to the shows every now and then. Like Drag Race Live, I'll pop in when there's like someone new in town. And I'll go to a local show every now and then. But somebody. I moved to Vegas, and now I'm just like, I want to do all.
Because you've been with your partner for like ever.
Yeah, like 7 years.
And she's also
a drag
queen
as well.
Yeah, she performs. She does like bingos at the Garden and stuff. But she actually performs, does more live performance than I do at this point.
Good for you. Do you share wigs? Do you share costumes? What's going on?
Do you share wigs?
Do you share wigs?
Will you share wigs? When will you share wigs?
Because we were at the Porn Awards last night, we like talked to there were like a lot of couples who were like, I'm so and so, and they all had the same last names. So it was like
they have like drag families like in
he was I'm Bo Butler and I'm Bob Butler, and I was like, oh, the Butler brothers, but they're like, no, we're husbands, but they were all like, oh, we just share all the same clothes.
Oh.
You share drag?
We'll definitely like share like some wigs, and I will share. I will borrow some from Viggs. I will like steal some of her costumes for like tip arounds and stuff. It doesn't work for my numbers, but like tip arounds, like photo shoots, meet and greets, like just like fun outfits. But she will not wear any of my stuff.
Why not?
Because her drag is good, and she doesn't want to. She doesn't want to go to a gig dressed as Shrek, you know. So like I wear it as like dumb shit. Like I do stuff that's like fun for me, and her drag is more like sex, reclaiming womanhood, and all that. Mine's just like, it'd be funny if I was a nun.
Yes, I love that number. Yeah.
Were you together before you created your drag experience? Your drag
experience.
I'd start the experience.
I don't know. I think I like that. That should be a new way of saying it.
I had been doing drag for like 2 months. I was doing like an open stage competitions, so I had performed all of like two or three times by the time we met, but I was already like, like I'd gone through like the whole like gender journey exploration and landed and found like myself by the time we had like met, but was doing drag.
So there was a time when you were exploring like just cross-dressing without performance, or was it always performance based?
I wouldn't even call it cross-dressing, because it was like almost like a full exploration of like trying to find my identity. Like I was just kind of like this like blob. Like there was like a period where I was fully like, I'm gonna find out like what this means for me and if this is what I want to do. And like I didn't even know like what my family would think or anything. Like I was fully ready to go on this journey and possibly like move away somewhere to like fully transition. Like I was doing the reason why when I talk to like trans people, like I feel like I have an insight and I'm able to ask like a lot more questions, because like I've done like a lot of research, not just in general and as an ally, but like for myself. Like I was trying
the sound on that. It says ally.
It says ally.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Ally. I'm really thankful. Like even if that time period, what as crazy as it was, I'm very thankful, because it did give me like a lot of insight and gave me like a lot of like empathy and understanding.
Yeah.
So that's why like, whenever people are online, I don't care that people make straight jokes or anything, but it was really upsetting to see when people were just like saying that I shouldn't be in these spaces and I'm invading these spaces, because it was a safe space for me. Like it was where I went, and it made me like, by going out and going dressing up in varying degrees, it led me to understanding myself and realizing that it was a lot of like confidence that I was lacking. And it wasn't euphoria I was feeling in drag. It wasn't affirmation. It was just confidence. And that's like what I was like lacking, like as like my guy self.
I feel like a lot of drag queens that are gay or any version of themselves figure out who they are using their drag.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of people with similar experiences for me. I know a lot of people that go out to the club, they're like straight guys, and they start like going out to the club and they start dressing up. And like some of them end up going on transition and becoming like, you know, trans lesbians. And some mm-hmm. of them end up just going back to their regular life because they did it. They went through the experience and realized it wasn't for them. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it's like I was just like a victim of like the toxic masculinity and gender roles and patriarchy and, you know, like all this like very narrow view of what a man should be. And so the fact that I was even remotely interested in things outside of it, I was like, something's wrong with me.
Yes.
And, you know, at that time, you look online, there's no resources. Ask right. Jeeves is like, it means you're a transsexual.
Yeah. And yeah. so, yeah, that's so crazy.
But, and Jeeves is like, log off, fag.
Yeah. Ask Jeeves it.
Faggot.
But yeah, you're in Arkansas, and there's not a lot of, like, resources or people to see out there. So I'm
going to pop up the Casa Avalon and go talk to them.
it was literally just, like, a few people, like, friends I met online. It was a few people that I met online in just, like, that one space. So I got to, like, kind of feel and like, learn my identity, and, you know. My whole thing from that was realizing, like, oh, like, I'm not a woman. Because I went out there, and I was like, this doesn't feel right. I feel like I'm doing more of a character than I was, like, in my day-to-day life. And you know, once I realized that people respond to confidence, then you know I can channel that in like my guy self, and it was very much like a fake it till you make it, and just like going out and just like meeting people, and drag just happened. That's where like my experience is unique, is that like I went on a gender journey that other straight guys do and have done, but I just happened to find drag along the way. Like when I first started going out, I was like, I'm never gonna do drag because they're like full rhinestone leotards doing Work Me Down, and I'm like, this is fun to watch, but I don't want to do this.
Yes. Right.
But then again, seeing Comedy Queens, I was like, oh, that seems kind of fun. And they're like, you're already coming out here. You've been dressed up. They're in open stage nights. You should just jump in there. And
bada bing, bada boom. Cool.
It's really impressive. And it's really, I mean, we hate this word, but brave of you to take that chance on yourself and like feel something and being like, oh, I'm going to go for it. That I think is really incredible. And we live in a time now where that binary about everything is fading away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think people love, you know, it's tried and true, always been the way. People are scared of something that's different. They love to label it so that they can hold on to it and truly process it and understand it. And it's like, we don't need to do that. We can just sort of like be whatever.
Yeah.
And we can be a hungover fat bitch in a rhinestone dress looking for someone to suck on our feet.
Yeah, exactly.
Sequence.
And we should be, honestly.
Yeah, we need more of that. Our toes sucked.
But like a lot of people, like it's whenever I was on the show, huh?
You ever suck a toe? Oh,
I'm straight. I'm not a Mormon. But like I think a lot of people would benefit from going on these like journeys, and the queer community, like everyone like, almost in that community has, which is why when I was on the show and I said, you know, I learned from the community, like the way you're growing up, you're taught that there's a million different ways to be queer, but then you're taught there's only one way to be straight. Mm-hmm. So that's the whole thing, is like there's not. Like there's like you can just exist.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. We're all gonna be skeletons. Like none of this matters.
None of this.
It might be
matters.
A simulation.
Some of us sooner than later.
Yeah.
I'm always looking to die. You ever in that space?
Looking to die?
Yeah. I could go. I could. If I died right now, I'd be fine.
She died.
She died.
She died. It'd be good for the algorithm.
Faggot.
All right. Yeah. Let's take a wait.
Yeah, we gotta take a break.
Let's take a break, and we'll be back with our last segment.
Find your note. Sing it, baby. Find your note, baby.
Find your note.
Bullying works. This is the result of me being bullied by Michelle Visage. Bullying works.
You really did glow up after that show. Mm. I don't know what happened to some of the other girls. They all disappeared.
I also got cast like right when I was in like kind of an experimental like time with like, my makeup. Mm. And I was like trying new stuff. And I was also like coming off pageants where you have to paint super dark and heavy. Yes. And yeah, so I got cast on the show and I'm wearing like pussycat wigs and like smaller outfits. But then my makeup is like absurdly big in comparison. I don't know.
I love that you were good at reading, because those girls didn't know that you had it in you on that show.
Oh, yeah.
And they were trying to come for you in the Untucked Lounge or whatever it was called. And you were like giving it right back.
At the reunion, I really think like my renaissance started with the reunion, because I got a lot of screen time of just like reading. And I was like, this is great.
And that was the first reunion they did here in Vegas, right?
Yeah, I think the last one too, because I don't think this. I don't think the season after or the next one are going
to
be
for promo for the launch of the show.
I think so.
That was
well.
Wild.
Then there was COVID,
and then there was COVID. It's time for our segment, which we call
Fuck Talk.
What is it called?
Fuck talk.
Fuck talk. Faggot.
So in this segment, we ask you to tell a wild, crazy, absurd, embarrassing, outlandish sex story from your past, present, or future.
Future.
Got anything planned, lined up in the future?
Like Meatball does? Wink.
I don't know.
You ever...
Did
you ever hook up and drag?
I've never hooked up and drag, but I have, like, been in drag, and I just, like, didn't bother to take it off, you know, like, with my partner. I've never gotten in drag for the express purpose.
Yes.
You know? Okay. But, you know, it's just like, you know, we're, like, leaving the club. Like...
Horny.
That's the thing. It's I don't think I still don't think I could do that. But I guess you and your partner both do drag, so you kind of go like see past it. But I feel like if I was even if I had any makeup on, wig off, I'd be like,
well, it's like once you're in a relationship long enough, it's just like
I don't know what that means.
You know, it's like yeah, it's like you could be like just like sweatpants and your hair's all messed up or whatever. But you know, it's like wait, you know,
yeah, we're gonna do
we got an hour. You know? I don't know if I have. Don't I have a really crazy... Oh, maybe I do have one. Not crazy. Not super crazy. I remember there was this girl I met at the club. And like I used to go to the club. I never hooked up with people because I was always like, there's alcohol involved. I've always been very strict. Like if I've been drinking or they've been drinking, nothing's going to happen.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Anyone that I've ever like hooked up with, it's been like I got their number and we talked a little bit and then hooked up after.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's nice.
But, so there was this girl I met at the club. But I used to make out with people all the time. I was a fiend, yeah. But there was this one girl, and she was way out of my league at that time, or so I thought, because I was unconfident again. But so beautiful, and we just like we're making out, and then she just like vanished. I never saw her again. She had like green hair, and then I just like randomly stumbled across her profile on like Instagram, like a people you may know or recommended or something. It just like randomly popped up.
Oh man.
And then, like, she, like, someone would ask her, like, when you come back to Fayetteville? She's like, I'm actually coming back soon. And I was like, oh my God. So I messaged her. I was like, hey, I don't know if you remember me. I met you this one night. And it just felt like everything's were like lining up. Yeah. Like, she was like the one. It's like, I randomly stumbled across her. She, right as soon as she was moving back, everything's lining up. And we met her, we hung out, and things were going really great. And then, like, it finally came time to do the deed. And I was like, oh, this is about to be crazy.
And indeed it was.
No, but like I really thought like we were hanging out and like she was so cool and I really thought that this was like I was like this is fate.
Yeah.
Finally happening. The one girl's out of my league is interested in me, rekindled, get in the moment, and she had the stinkiest ass I've ever smelled in my life.
Wash asses.
And it's like it wasn't just like everything down there. It was just like the ass itself where it's like, I'm finally hooking up with like one of the most beautiful women that I'd ever been with at that time. And I couldn't keep it up because I was like so repulsed. It was just kind of like, I got to try to get through this, but I just couldn't. And then, then we just like kind of fell out. She ended up being like really like kind of crazy.
Yeah, you're going to get that with green hair.
Yeah, I should have known. Writing was on the wall.
Smell is very, very important to us.
Here on this show.
I prefer fresh out of the shower.
Laced with baby powder.
Laced with baby powder.
Yeah.
Or fresh out of the shower and maybe like 2 or 3 hours after that is when I'm like, okay, if you've been physically active, maybe shower again.
I'm the same way too, where it's like if I'm going to do something, I like to have like just showered myself.
Yes.
You know?
Prepare the workstation.
Yeah. You know?
Especially you're going to get these little toesies.
Yeah. And for the huge straight male audience that watches the Sloppy Seconds.
We actually have a big one.
We have a big straight audience. Wash, love listening.
Wash your ass. It doesn't matter if someone isn't going in there or something.
Squat in the shower.
This is why I said
you
got to
soap and water.
Down and you got to scrub.
Like, you don't have to put a fucking Brillo pad up your ass or anything. But like. Yeah, you don't have to. Optional, but you don't have to do all that.
Yeah.
You know, like so many men are like, imagine being so internally homophobic, you're scared to wash your butt.
They say, if I wash my butt, I'm gay. That's gay to wash my butt. The water will run down my back and clean it for me.
That's not how it works.
That's not how it fucking works, diva.
Yeah. And if you have a hairy ass, trim it a little. You don't have to like shave it bald. You're not using it.
I don't know. Trim it down.
And that's what you're into. But like, I know these straight guys, they be having dingleberries. Absolutely.
Well, see, that's a problem.
Because they don't believe in washing their ass. And that means they don't shave it. They don't trim it.
My brother, when he came to visit me.
Please don't talk about your brother's ass.
It's not about his ass.
Okay.
Well, it is about his ass. He wouldn't use my bidet.
No.
He said it was gay.
Oh.
To use a bidet.
No, it's just friends.
It's just friends. I think he even said, I know they do that shit in Europe, but I don't want to do that. And I was like, wash your ass.
You know why they do it in Europe? Because they had a fucking plague. Wash your ass.
Wash your ass.
Yeah.
Because in Europe, ass eating is always on the menu.
Yeah.
Shigella.
Yeah.
You know her? Who? Shigella.
She performed on Antarctica.
Shangelo. Yeah.
No, it's a stomach virus that you get from dirty butt. Shigella.
Oh, okay. That's a great drag name. She been on Dracula yet?
Yeah. Shigella or Giardia.
Yeah, she went home first.
She's from the house of...
House of Giardia.
Yeah.
Giardia. So I've been experiencing this thing recently where like...
You can't get a boner?
No.
She has pills for that.
I have pills for that in my back.
I have recently, on more than one occasion, left a work thing to suck dick and then returned to the work thing.
You mean the studio, the bomb podcast studios. You're saying that you leave work to go suck dick?
Not. Maybe we shouldn't put this
in. No, leave it in. Like, but like, what the fuck?
So do you,
like, what do you mean?
Do you just like come back all cute? Like, sorry, I was getting lunch with a friend. Like, are you cute about it?
I had a meeting. Sucking dick in the workday is a fun new thing that I'm doing. Okay. Not at the end of the workday.
You normally would wait until it was time to leave.
I'd be like, now I'm done. If sex is going to happen, happen.
He's a sex planner. He prefers like, we'll meet at 2 o'clock, hook up or whatever. So this is new. This seems spontaneous.
Well, yeah, because it's sort of like, hey, and then I'm like, well, I'll go suck your dick.
Well, I mean, if it's like, if you guys like have like a union run show here and you have like planned lunch times, it's like, hey, I have a lunch from 12 to 1. And it could be planned.
Yeah.
It's not too spontaneous. So is it,
like, do you come back and like your beard still smells like genitals?
No, but I sucked dick on the way to the airport before we came here, and then I met you. And I had freshly swallowed a man's cock and balls and his cum.
I knew you had a glow to you, and I was real sad. I could smell it.
His cum tasted so good. Normally it doesn't taste very good.
What does it normally taste like to you? Because sometimes
sour.
Sour.
I would say acrid. Because you know sometimes when
acrid.
What's the difference?
What is acrid?
Yeah, I don't know.
Arkansas Public School. What does that word mean?
You went to who?
Acrid? Like the city in Ohio?
Acrid's like
purple bulldogs.
Acrid? Like the diet?
Like the acrid diet. It's just calm. No, it's like it's like sour but bitter and like kind of like leaves a almost tangy. I don't know. Like when you like lick a battery.
I know that there are people who love the taste of cum. And they sort of like, they're like, I'm like, but sometimes it's
off. Is it the taste or the idea of it?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It tastes bad sometimes. And then also sometimes but it leaves like a burning in my throat.
I feel about like that way about like, I had foie gras recently. I don't know if I'm even saying that right.
Foie gras?
It's like fatty duck liver. Yeah. It's like expensive. And I was like, I just tried it and it was the most disgusting thing ever. So I'm like, does people actually like this, or they just like the idea that like I'm eating foie gras?
I think there are two camps. I think there are people who like it no matter what, and kind of like if you're like a stinky cheese fan, you're like some of it is stinky, some of it is not, some of it is sweet, and they like it no matter what. Sometimes I taste guys and I'm like, what have you been eating? This is incredible. This tastes like candy.
you just have like a little napkin. You're just like.
Truly, like
chef's kiss.
This guy on the way to
my
the
compliments
airport,
to the chef.
Like, oh my god!
I was like, I would put this on top of something.
Tipper, you're fucking disgusting.
You don't swallow cow?
Like
I do swallow.
You go to a Chili's and get a salad, and you're like, I brought my own dressing.
I wouldn't put it fucking past him. Yesterday, when we were at what's the name of that restaurant we went to?
Pellegrino's,
something like that.
Yeah.
Peppermill. He was like, hold on, I got to build a sandwich before I go. So he got a bagel, he put the cream cheese on it, he put the jam on it, he put bacon on it. He then cut the top of his omelet off and put it on that and was like, okay, I'm ready to bring that home. Instead of just bringing it home. Thoughts?
He's living his life.
Thank you, Madeline.
You know, we're all just little.
Go visit the children in the lobby. Get out.
We're all just little animals trying to find our happiness in the world.
That's true. And sometimes that happiness comes from sucking dick in the workday.
Yeah. Or putting jizz on your explosion salad from Chili's.
Chili's. I wouldn't put cum on anything. But you know, it cooks up like egg whites.
Does it?
Yeah. You know that? There's a whole cookbook on what to do with cum.
Make like a cum omelet.
And put that on top of your little sandwich at Peppermill. All right. Thank you so much for being here today, Maddie. I hope you had a good time. I sure did.
I did. This has been a riveting, life-altering conversation.
Faggot.
Where can people find
you? I think
you?
It doesn't help that the voice almost sounds like mine, too.
Well, it's
like,
hers.
It's me.
It's yours?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Like the inflection.
It's faggot.
AI.
Why don't you say it?
Huh?
Don't you do this.
Say it. Over comparison?
Yeah.
No, not on this day.
Not on this day. Maddie, where can people find you?
You can find me on the YouTubes at Maddie Morphosis Official for Give It To Me Straight. I have a second channel called Morphoclips, where I'll be posting some highlights and shorter clips. Zooms. Clips with a P. And all other social media at Maddie Morphosis.
Hit the slay button. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Sloppy Seconds. You can follow us on Instagram at SloppyPod. Send us an email at SloppySecondsPod@gmail.com or call in with your own fuck talk story to 213-536-9180. And don't forget to like and subscribe so you don't ever miss an episode, which come out every Tuesday and Friday.
You see her eyes slowly drifting away.
I'm dead inside.
That's right. Or you can listen to this show ad-free one day early and watch our full video episodes available on Mom Plus Gold. You can sign up at mompodcast.plus. Plus, you get episodes, Sloppier Seconds. We did a whole vlog of our time here in Vegas. A lot of good bonus stuff there. So check that out at mompodcast.plus. And this has been Sloppy Seconds Takes Las Vegas.
Las Vegas. Concrete jungle where dreams are made of. If you have a gambling problem, call 222. Thank you so much. Goodbye.
777.
Oh, 777.
No.
Bye now. To get access to our full uncensored video episodes ad-free and one day early, sign up for Mom Plus Gold at mompodcasts.plus.
Sloppy Seconds is produced by Moguls of Media, a.k.a. Mom.
Hosted by Big Dipper and Meatball.
Engineered by Margot Padilla.
Editing and sound design by William Pitts.
Executive produced by Willem, Alaska Thunderfuck, Big Dipper, and Joe Cilio.
Our artwork was drawn by Christian Cimarroni.
And our theme song was written by Mike Malarkey.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true. But shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.